It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on Liberty News Radio from Phoenix, Arizona in the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, today I want to make sure we go on with, our theme. You know, it's the day after November 5th, remember. And yesterday we were talking about these young people, Year of the Youth. YearOfTheYouth.org. Well, there's somebody behind that. There's always somebody behind everything. Well, let's go ahead and find out who's behind this one. Jared Fuller. I got you there, Jared?
Yes, you sure do, Ernest. How you doing?
I'm more than a wonderful. Now, you are traveling on the East Coast there up on the highway somewhere, so we'll try and keep you as long as we can get a good signal. But what I want to do real quick before we lose you, go ahead and tell us what Year of the Youth is. I tell you, even before you do that, tell us about you. Now, we've crossed paths a couple times during the revolution, and I just want to know what your history is. How old are you? Where'd you come from? What makes you so special? Word up, man.
Well, I appreciate it, Ernest. Essentially, I'm from New Mexico. That's where Adam Kokesh is running for Congress, so that's one of the big reasons I was there this summer as his volunteer coordinator. A couple years back, I moved out east to Winston-Salem, North Carolina to get finish up my college degree. I guess, you know, everyone wants a college degree these days. That's supposedly what you're supposed to do when you get old. So I go to school at Wake Forest University and got real involved with Young Americans for Liberty. I'm the North Carolina chairman for them. Got real involved with Students for Liberty, the Southern director for them. And then just going full blast of now starting up Year of Youth, looking forward to getting that project off the ground and seeing it expand. And already it's blowing me out of the water how big we're getting so fast.
Okay, now we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's get some more details here in the background. You know, this for youth and Liberty Youth for that and all these different groups and everything. I mean, how come you're not just doing them? I mean, they weren't good enough for you? You're going off to do something else? Tell me about them.
No, I love Young Americans for Liberty and Students for Liberty. But they hold a different, you know, market sector of the Liberty movement, at least in my mind. Young Americans for Liberty, or YAL, YAL is dedicated to campus activism, that is, spreading the message of liberty on college campuses across the United States. So they have about 175 college chapters forming or officially formed, and what they do is spread the message on campus, host speakers, hold activism events, educate the younger population, and engage them with the rest of their community. Students for Liberty, on the other hand, is more of an educational organization. To steal a word from the wonderful communists like Lenin, they're sort of the vanguard. They hold the intellectual belt of the overarching liberty movement. So what they do is give out books and host conferences. That's actually where I'm going right now. I'm on my way to go speak at a Students for Liberty conference in Philadelphia. So what they do is they make sure the students actually understand what the heck they're talking about. So that's where they differ from Year of Youth, where Year of Youth is still a nonprofit organization. It's more focused on politics and making sure students and youth take that lead, you know, Ron Paul's revolution extended further.
So we have one organization that's kind of like taking the place of the philosophy teachers at the university because they don't know nothing. And then you have the other guys that are trying to get them more activated in the actual real world politic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what Year of Youth is trying to get them involved in the real-world politics.
Well, we haven't got that Year of Youth yet. No, we haven't got the year of youth yet. No, let's go. I want to get some base here because see, we have Young Americans for Freedom, Liberty guys here all the time. They're here at the workshop making signs and going out, and they made one for ASU that stencil that they go out with the spray chalk because you can chalk the sidewalk, you know. So what they get is a spray chalk. So they're going out with a stencil and chalking all over ASU all the time. So you got these guys. They're active. They're doing. I stay out of their way. They're young. I'm 48, man. I'm like, yeah, whatever y'all need, you let me know. And they're going at it. But the thing is that I'm going, okay, I am really of the mind that unless people really understand what it is they're fighting for, then they're just an Obama supporter standing out in the crowd going, you know, is there some girl here my age I can date? I mean, you know, they don't really know what's going on. I saw that happening for the past couple of years. You have Ron Paul, young people out there. They'll have these right across the street, young people for Obama. And you'll talk to them. They'll engage. They'll be friends. You'll be friendly with them. And the Obama people, they had absolutely no reason to no understanding of why they were really there. You know, they just, yeah, he's anti-war. How's that working out for you? So now you need to have an understanding of what it is that you're fighting for. I understand that. Then you have, you know, kind of the Young Americans for Liberty. What is it? It's Young Americans for Liberty, right? And they are, I guess, they're still an organization. You know, they're still, you know, you're going to have meetings and spending other people's money and raising and all this kind of stuff. Then we're going, okay, we're going to take this product of these two organizations. We're going to take the students. We're going to take the people that are philosophically got it going on, understand, you know, what the year of youth is about. And we're going to take that, and you're going to do what with it?
Yes, well, we're taking what I would consider all of that support, all of that activism, all those great ideas, we're taking that to the next level. Because the first thing I have to say when I explain Year of Youth to anyone is, what is the most effective method of existing communication? Is it on college campuses? Is it on, you know, your city halls? Is it hosting activism events? Is it putting out signs? And I would emphatically state, no. What is the most effective method? That is politics. And don't... I want to make sure the listeners say don't equivocate politics with the state or government. Politics and government are two separate things. The political realm is what you see on TV. That's what the corporate media covers. That's where, you know, your newspaper puts out articles. That's the most effective existing method of communication. And that's something we as liberty people really suck, myself included, at exploiting and utilizing. Yes, we develop our own method, but how do we penetrate that mainstream? So that's what Year of Youth, whenever I decided to found it, that's that main framework I had in mind. Now, as an empirical example, all the listeners tonight, I can almost guarantee that at least 50% of them were turned on to this movement because of Ron Paul's political presidential campaign. So we need to take that momentum, how much we grew during those years, or I guess 2 years, and to keep on expanding it. Why stop at one presidential election? You know, even if Ron Paul were to get elected, there's not much he could have done. You know, in 4 years, we need a nation of politicians who will stand up and effectually say, no more, we're decentralizing this government. So that's sort of the main overarching framework, Ernest, where we're going with this. We're infiltrating the mainstream, and the youth are going to lead it, number one, because what happens when a 21-year-old announces that he's running for House, or she, for House against, you know, a 20-year incumbent, you know, who's a big business owner, big politician, all that. Well, they're going to get front-page news coverage. That is what we've been missing. We've been missing those front-page news articles, that nightly news, and that's what we're going to start getting, penetrating the mainstream.
Maybe not. I understand your tactic here, and I'll tell you, there may be a little novelty in the beginning, but you have to be hardcore, pure. Don't have to make excuses for them. Don't have to babysit them. Don't have to, you know, write them off, and they're no longer in our club, or they, you know, you see what I mean? You start getting, you know, young people that aren't experienced in them starting to hit at their self-esteem, and they'll start to crack. Okay, I'll give you an example. You ain't hardcore libertarian, Republican, you know, Ron Paulers. Yeah, well, what would you do about military? Do you want any military? What kind of taxes? No income tax? Or are you a little bit of income tax? So I'm wondering if these guys are going to be schooled enough and have enough self-esteem to stand up against the hardcore criticisms of don't you love your neighbor and your grandma that you're going to get her health care. You see my point?
Oh, exactly. And that's why our major project is Project 2012. That's whenever all of our work, all of our success will be in the year 2012. State house races, city council races, et cetera. So what we're doing for the next 3 years is identifying people, leaders, say, for example, state chairman from Young Americans for Liberty, directors for Students for Liberty, these people who really have it on lock and who are properly equipped, and then we will make sure they're even further equipped. So even the best Liberty candidate, 22, 23 years old, they'll be able to hold every single bit of their weight against them, and especially the incumbents. You know as well as me, Ernie, that most of those people sitting in those state house offices, those city council offices, don't know jack squat about politics.
No, you got that right. You got that right. We'll be right back with Jared Fuller in just a little bit. Year of the Youth. You need to know more about it because it's coming. It's coming. And what are you going to do about it? You going to give them some attention? Maybe you should. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock. And online, we got Jared Fuller from yearofyouth.org. Now, I want to ask you a series of questions here, Jared. We'll just go real fast here. I want to try and make sure we get a bunch of goodies in case we lose you. Ready?
Sure thing, Ernest. Let's go.
Okay. One, is there an age limit? I mean, you know, they got to be at least, I don't know, 18 to qualify for whatever city council or something, whether the age limit. And then when they hit 31, you put them out the pasture or what?
Well, first and foremost, there are a lot of races locally that are developing these things called youth council. And essentially anyone like in high school can run for these races. So that's always an available option. For the most part, state house races across the United States is generally 21 to 25, and state senate races are generally all 25 and up. For the most part, we want to focus on these elections that are very winnable, like city council, where those age restrictions are generally 21. State house races, those are 21. So that's the base. Of course, volunteers and people helping out with elections and developing platforms and all that, they can be of any age, you know, whether they're young or young at heart.
Oh, I get the help, but I don't get to run? Okay. So then you have the young guys, they're running, you're getting them all schooled. What are you schooling them? I mean, what's the criteria before? Is it an endorsement? Is there a membership? Is there a secret Dakota ring that comes with it? I mean, what?
Well, not necessarily. What we want to model is, you know, that big left-wing organization called MoveOn.org. Well, essentially, they're the people who are responsible for the Democratic Congress in 2006 and Barack Obama's election in 2008. They had a really good setup. They have a 501c3, which is like a non-political, non-partisan organization, a 501c4, which is sort of the electioneering lobbyist side, and then a PAC. So, I mean, obviously, you got to jump through all these crazy IRS loopholes to get there, but eventually we want to be able to have all of those organizations under the umbrella of Year of Youth. That way we can, one, educate people under the 501c3, two, resource them under the 501c4, and then three, endorse them under the PAC and raise them money. As a PAC, we're allowed to donate $5,000 to any individual candidate. So hopefully the goal is to be able to roll out fully functional web-based platforms and tools for these future candidates whenever they get fully trained by the organization.
So what you have talked about right there, you already have a minimum of 5 to 15 people just for the administration.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We actually have, there's hundreds of students and people of all age, actually, who are collaborating around our core team forums. We already have an entire core team set up across the United States that is developing this that's all volunteer-based. As far as headquarters, we're looking to get headquartered right outside Arlington, Virginia, hopefully sometime in the next month, and we will have a fully functional office space in addition to our all-volunteer online army.
Wow. Okay. Man, I already see where this is going. There's going to be, you're creating a big giant suitcase with a handle that somebody's going to want to get control of that handle.
And oh, that's, they're sure as hell going to try, Ernest. And if you remember me, if you know me, not under my watch, not under the youth's watch. We're too passionate. We're too focused. This is something I've dedicated my life to. So they can try to take us down all they want to, but for God's sake, don't let it ever be said that I did nothing.
Oh, they don't want to take you down. They want to control you. they need exactly what you're doing. They want what you're doing. They're going to need to get the endorsement of them. We got a boy for you, Nolan, sitting on your board, and this guy's got money and resources and owns a server farm that's going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. I see where this is going. You got to stand strong there, Jared. I'm telling you, because I can see where this is going to go, that you're going to be a very powerful force in this. They fear not just fresh minds that have not been, you know, destroyed by all the propaganda all these years. They kind of, you know, have this freedom option, this truth option on the internet. They fear your networking ability. They fear the ability that you have to instantaneously direct efforts anywhere in the country, on the planet, and draw resources from the planet. You're a threat. And if you concentrate it like this, it's going to be even a bigger threat. But you know, in the end, we always learn something anyway. So we'll go ahead and keep track of you guys and keep eye on you. What my main concern is the people that would represent the yearofyouth.org as candidates. These people are going to, because I know what's going to happen, this attention that you're looking for from the lamestream media, the media so last century that I couldn't care less about, they are going to look at the weakest one of you. They're going to find that crack in your facade, in your armor, and they're going to put that wedge in there, and they're going to beat it with a 40-pound sledgehammer. So I'm FYI, man, you know, go strong.
Of course. You know, there is going to be that massive resistance by the mainstream media, as you appropriately put it, against us. But I'm not too worried about that. Because, first and foremost, we're not going to have specific, you know, year of youth candidates initially. The PAC's going to come way down the road. The endorsement is sort of like the last-minute small thing. You know, any money we can give a candidate and label as a year of youth PAC candidate is sort of small. We're talking about resourcing these kids and telling them how you actually win an election. Because, you know, during the revolution, we flipped a lot of minds. But we really didn't know how to, when I say revolution, let me clarify, the Ron Paul revolution, we really didn't know how to win an election. So that's where we're going to be training these kids, giving them all the resources on how to run an effective campaign and spread the message. Like, how do you take, you know, the military-industrial complex and relate that to a statehouse race? I mean, these are issues that we need to focus on because we need to have the states, the cities, the councils, we need them to declare their independence from the Leviathan federal government. That's the end goal, is to decentralize and localize. So that's one of the big things that it's not going to matter because hopefully by the end we'll be able to have that national thing, you know, national mainstream media, Congress, all the powers that be decentralized because people are just going to stop paying attention to them.
No, that suits me, brother. So you're going to focus more on local city councils, small jurisdictions, and which is, I say, amen, man. You know, do it. Because, you know, that's where it's going to be anyway. This whole national thing is just going to fall of its own weight. And they're going to be looking back to local communities. But what they're doing is they're bribing the local communities. They're going, I need some of that stimulus package. Well, guess what? Laws we want you to pass. So it would be a breath of fresh air to have young people come in. But where are you getting your curriculum? I mean, are you using Revolution of Manifesto by Ron Paul and in the Fed books? Or, you know, Mises Institute on economic stuff or Ayn Rand objectivism? I mean, you know, where do you draw your resource and what curriculum you're giving them?
Certainly. As far as the educational side of things, but remember I said earlier that we have that core team that's working right now. What we're working on there is there's a specific team called Intelligence, and their entire goal is related and directed towards resourcing these students intellectually and these youth leaders intellectually. So that we want to give them a little bit of flavor of everything. That way they have their bases set, you know, from, you know, Ron Paul's revolution, a little bit of Ayn Rand just to get some individualism in there, just to shun off the collectivist, a little bit of that Noam Chomsky sort of anti-war mentality. Give them the give them the full body, and then focus it on how that pertains to the local elections and what that means for them policy-wise. So whenever you get elected, what's your goal? You know, you don't want to take these bailouts according to Austrian economics. It's financial chaos. You don't want to send your National Guard troops from your state to die in foreign entanglements that are unconstitutional. So that's the entire goal. You know, to resource them, give them a little bit, but no, we want to be umbrella too. We don't want to confine it, oh, only Ron Paul Republicans or only capital L libertarians or only, you know, fiscally conservative Democrats. We want all of them because it's the philosophy that matters, not the party affiliation or what one person calls themselves.
Well, when we come back, are you able to stay over another segment, Jared?
We can probably do that, Ernie, if I'm coming through all right.
All right, we'll go ahead and go another segment. I got a lot more questions for Jared Fuller from yearofyouth.org. And I tell you, you need to take these guys serious. I know the type of people that they are. This is part of the revolution that swept this country, and you think they just went away. Well, they didn't. We'll find out when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock on the line, Jared Fuller on the road. I-95 going to a meeting. He's gonna heal the youngins. Well, he's one of the youngins himself. Jared, how old are you? Like what? 24?
21, Ernest.
Oh, geezer boy. You know, I thought you were older. Now you youngin. And, but you definitely have some skills. I've met Jared before. He's very, 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 very interested in politics. And the thing is that, you know, you got young guys going in, older guys, you know, you just step back and let them go because two things. One, they don't listen to you anyway. It's like, I got two sons, man. I know better, and two daughters. They don't listen to a dang thing. I don't know nothing. The other thing is that you never know. They know more than you, certainly when it comes to social networking and the use of the internet. So they know what is possible. As you'll say, oh, you're not going to be able to, like, shut up, old man. You don't know what you're talking about, geezer boy. You know, we can mobilize 500,000 people in 16 nanoseconds, so you don't even know what you're talking about. So the thing is, so you kind of, you know, you got to step back for that. Then, of course, you're talking to them about any experiences that you have or anything. That's where you had the roadblock, because young people, they are immortal. They are undamped. They already see it in their head. They already know what's going to happen. They already know what they're going to do. But it's always based on some premises. Excuse me. And one of the premises is that you expect the media or politicians or the system or the people to react in a certain way that you would expect them to from your perspective. As time goes on, I started when I was a young guy. I was 27 when I started doing all this. And not a whole lot has changed, but one thing that did, you can always expect the bad guys to ignore you until they can't. They will underestimate you right up until they start to overestimate you. I am of the opinion they are going to underestimate you now. And then there'll come a time when they start to overestimate you. They'll start to give a lot of credibility to your effort more than it's due, but you can use that to your advantage. It's less work you got to do. But until then, you have to, you know, really put the fear of what for into them, and that will only happen not with anything other than this. Names on ballots. Numbers of young people that are all over this country that are on a ballot. They got there anywhere from 50 to 200 signatures for some little city council, race, de la, whatever. Until you do that, they're going to do their very best to actively ignore you. What is the time frame for you to start actually recruiting candidates to get on the ballot?
Okay, well, we have a two-segmented sort of approach right now. We actually just got done with the 2009, you know, the midterm, or in between midterm elections, and there was actually several youth candidates that we were watching very closely. Because we're not an official, you know, IRS-recognized organization yet, we don't have the PAC. We obviously didn't have any year-review candidates, but these are people we've learned from their mistakes. There were several candidates that won mayor races, 21 and 22 years old. We had about 10 that won city council races, 22 to 24 years old. So we're utilizing their information right now. So what we're building up until Project 2012, you know, Revolution's Eve, November 5th, 2012, what we're building right now is the backbone, that intellectual backbone, the political backbone, and then the how-to. You know, the do tank. What do we effectually implement in 2012 as far as getting these people on board? So in 2010, there's going to be an application process. Only the best will get resources from Year of Youth. And we're going to be searching them out as well. That way we can really measure and really understand how hard it's going to be. You know, when the mainstream media comes down on us in 2010, where we can say, well, this was just our test period. We weren't even trying to do anything. We're just trying to figure it out, get our feet wet. And if we even have big successes then, that's going to set a huge precedent. And then 2012, we'll have pretty much all we need to know as far as what it's going to take to get these kids on ballots, to get them running good campaigns, and to have the knowledge necessary to win and win on principle.
Okay, what principle?
What principle? The principles of liberty. And, you know, we could debate all day long on what that means, but to us, to your view...
Yeah, we can.
...is... What that means is localism, and that means decentralizing federal power, getting power out of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., the alphabet soup agencies, restoring it to communities and localities. Individual liberty, meaning that none of this collective societal BS that is currently being shoved down our throats. And then fiscal responsibility. Governments cannot spend society into prosperity. So those three key frameworks are going to be pushing our candidates forward. In addition, we will probably also be issuing some sort of candidates questionnaire as well to make sure that these people are actually, you know, on the same page and they are publicly answering questions. That way they can be held accountable as well, you know, after the fact.
You know, when you want to really hold them accountable, I'll tell you a story. This will be interesting for you and for the audience, and we'll see if we can keep you in another segment, so I don't want you to respond to it. What we did in, it was city council races in the mid-90s, and what happened was there was one Libertarian candidate in a three-way race that, it was a four- or five-way race, and he got like 18, 19%. So it sent it into a runoff between the first and second place, and he was in third. The first and second place city council people, they wanted his endorsement. He's a Libertarian. Oh, give us, you know, if you'll say you love us long time, we'll be your bestest buddy. Okay. So what happened? We thought about it and we're like, you know, we can't endorse either one of these communists. I mean, you know, we're just these collectivist, statist, whateverist. So we go, no, we're good. And they pressed. So finally we came up with an idea. We go, all right. I'll endorse the candidate, and it wound up being the Republican said he would do it, and then the Republican Party freaked out and pulled him, and it was this. We will endorse you if you sign a civil contract with us. That's $25. Now, the reason we did that, every time that you violated your oath of office to the Constitution and the state Constitution, every time you owe me $25. If you don't, well, $25 was the threshold to allow you to go into small claims court before a justice of the peace. So if they wouldn't pay us our $25, which we have done this in the past, hey, rather than go to court, hey, here's my $25. You know, with Barry Hess, run for governor, he gets a Speaker of the House, paid him $25 several times. And because he said, I'll endorse you, but you sign this. What happens is, if they don't give you the $25, you're in small claims court, now you got a justice of the peace determining whether he violated his oath to the Constitution or not. So if you really want to hold them, I mean, there's methods and ways of doing it. That's just, you know, off the top of my head idea. So you got someone, you say, all right, here's our manifesto. I'm looking at your youth manifesto here. You got details of what you want to do. You say, all right, if you violate this, there's a civil violation. We're going to court. You know, this is how I can endorse you. I got some meat on you. You know, so I'm wondering if you're really willing to go that far to try and maintain this, the quality of this endorsement kind of thing, or you have a little bit more open kind of, it's a general concept. They say I'm wondering how hard you're going to be able to keep their feet to the fire. And I need to know what fire that is. You know, it's not clearly defined. So I'm, you know, any step towards a liberty direction, of course, is better than not. But I'm just kind of, I don't want to be too vague about this, because once you start getting support, once you get people that want to, they want to know what they're in for with Dr. Paul, it had 35 years of very clear what we were in for. What are we in for with your slate, your staff? I just want to make sure that I'm coming across as, you know, clear of what I'm concerned about.
Certainly, Ernest. No, I appreciate the story, because that's a really good example of how we can operate in the future. Now, with our own candidates and the future candidates, the people we're going to be resourcing, I don't think something like that's going to be necessary right off the bat, but that is a great idea, and it's something we will certainly explore. For one thing, we don't want to make this entirely too bureaucratic. I think if
you're too late, man. Are you kidding me? I heard the word IRS out of you about four times already.
That's the thing. You can't raise money, or you can't operate. You can't do any of these things without the IRS completely shutting you down. So, I mean, either you play by their rules or you don't do anything at all. So,
I've been sitting on my hands.
Yeah, I mean, you've had fun there. I'm sure of it. So I don't want to make sure that we're having to police our own people. We want this to be preemptive, in the sense that the people we get, we know for certain that they're good before the fact. That way, after the fact, you know, we don't have this guy going crazy on us who has been trained by Year of Youth, who's just a complete status collectivist, what have you. So I think on the front end, it's going to tell a lot more work than on the back end. But signing a candidate's pledge or something like that would be a great idea. I think this could be something that they should do contracts with their communities that they're running in.
Yeah, with dollar amounts. I mean, you got to make it hurt. You know, there's got to be, I turn communist clause payout. You know, we'll go ahead and go another segment here. You guys just hold on. We'll be back with Jared Fuller, because I want to focus on this, because this is going to be a force. This is not going to go away. I just want to see if we can preempt whatever might happen.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Change the world here on Claire, your independence, with me, Ernest Hancock, and especially Jared Fuller, co-founder and executive director of Year of Youth Project 2012. Go to yearofyouth.org. And, I'm kind of getting, I danced around it. I get all to it and everything. And I got to say, it's called Steiger's Law. Here in Arizona, there's a that's a long story. He was a congressman, and he was kind of the curmudgeon guy and one of the characters of Arizona. And he always had this one thing that we always took to heart. He goes, whenever you create an organization around a cause or a principle, sooner or later, the organization becomes more important than the reason for which you created it. So I want to make that statement and provide that warning that you want to be careful, you want to be clear what your goal is, and that your organization is not more important than whatever the goal was that created it. So what is your goal? Is it just to elect people with your moniker on it, to change a cultural society, society's culture, to shift, to just get younger average age of people in office? I mean, what exactly is the goal?
Okay, as far as, you know, the organizational structure side of things, something we can present to people, that we want a hard metric. So we want to be able to say that we've trained X amount of candidates, that we've, you know, happily contributed to so many people being elected and all that wonderful stuff. But the real reason we're here, and I want to be perfectly clear about this, is, you know, we're settling for no less than a paradigm shift in the modern American political context. We don't want people to embrace statism and think, oh, wow, there's a problem in society. Well, government has to fix it, of course. We want to eliminate that mindset. And if we have these young people running across the country and our organizations helping them, they're spreading the revolution on their own terms and their own campaigns and their own communities, they can change minds. We can flip people left and right. I mean, that's our big goal, is to flip people. We want them getting out of the state and saying, look, society has problems. We can fix them without government. We can, or without the Fed, certainly. We can, you know, these smaller communal problems, I don't care that much if a city council fixes it, but I sure as hell care if the federal government has their big, massive statist thumb on that city council trying to dictate what that community wants for itself. So that's the long-term goal, Ernest, is trying to eliminate statism or that paradigm, that belief that government has to fix all of our problems. You know as well as I that that's one of the most harmful things that the human race has ever seen, that statism.
No, I'm with you, brother. Now, the one thing that I do want to focus on is, where's the line? I mean, is it Congress you're not interested in, U.S. senators you're not interested in, state legislature down to city councils, or you will have one congressman? Or, I mean, Neil, where's your line of what you're focusing on?
Well, whenever I talked with Dr. Paul about this at his home in Lake Jackson, Texas, one thing that he brought up, which was just rather funny, was something about the possibility of these future youth leaders jumping into other political realms whenever they're done. That's something that we're not going to focus on, but you get someone elected at 21 years old to state house, they're start representing the people, they start creating a revolution in their state house district, you bet your butt they're probably going to run for Congress. And we don't even have to facilitate that. One thing we want to stay away from, because you mentioned bureaucracy, is the FEC. I can't stand the FEC. I don't want to touch that organization. I want to have nothing to do with federal elections. But, well, number one, because like you said, it might not matter in 5-10 years. Hell, it might not matter in 4. So I don't want to touch federal elections. But if these people, whenever they're done with their terms, you know, they sign a contract that says, I'm limiting my term to 2 terms, and they're done, and they want to run for a federal election, and we have another Congressman Ron Paul in there, well, then hell yeah, I am all for it.
Okay, so what you're going to be focusing on is non-federal races, and that'll be the proving ground for them to go on if there's a federal government still.
Exactly. Hopefully, we won't have to worry about it. But
all right, well, let me tell you what's going to happen here, Jared. You guys are successful in this. You're going to have some local activists that are here in Arizona. I mean, you know, we're a hotbed of, you know, when we go around the country, we take the party on the road, and, you know, all the RVs show up and we make stuff happen. Now, a lot of those guys, they're young. You know, a lot of them are older and certainly support them. So I can think off the top of my head, half a dozen kids here that, you know, if they had the inclination to do it, they certainly could represent the message. So how do they benefit from contacting you? What are they going to get? What would they offer? What are you going to offer them?
Certainly. Well, what we want to give to them first and foremost is campaign training. You know, most people, when they think, well, heck, I'm Mr. Joe Blow, I own a business, people in my community like me, I want to run for Congress, and they end up getting smashed by the establishment in the Republican primary, is because they don't know how to run a campaign. I mean, it's an art. It's a dirty art. It's a scary art. It's a terrible art. But it is an art, no less, just like any other art. And you have to know how to use it. And then specifically, you have to know how to use it for liberty. So we want to be able to resource them with those campaign tools. And I'm talking everything from, you know, phone banking to get out the vote strategy to all those little nooks and crannies of what it actually takes to win a campaign. So that's what they'll get. They'll get those tools. In addition, they'll get to be plugged into part of our national network, get in contact with someone else who might be running for city council in a different area. You know, what problems are they encountering? What new things are they developing that they can pull off of? What great things are coming from that person's revolution that they can apply to theirs? For example, if I can just shout this one out really quick, one of the big things that a gentleman we were watching really closely in the Palm Beach area, everyone kept on saying, you know, well, you're too young. You don't have enough experience. And he finally got a press release out that went just front page everywhere. And he said, you know what? I am young. I am inexperienced. I don't know how to lie, cheat, or steal. And you talk about massive success. I mean, people just kind of went, yeah, all politicians lie, cheat, and steal. And they ended up swing voting for him due to the ability to take over that newspaper and the nightly news and just say, yeah, I don't have political experience, and that's a damn good thing.
Yeah, I want to tell you a story, and this will apply. You know, I've been around a while, man. This stuff just keeps happening to us. In 1996, this was after 94, we really went whole hog. We had a lot of libertarian candidates on the ballot. We had a big time, and our gubernatorial candidate is now Judge John Buttrick. And We had a lot of credibility. During that time, we go to speak to schools and stuff like that. And there was this one young man at a local high school. He was 17, 18 at the time. His name was Jim Savoca. Well, a year and a half later or so, they had the Phoenix City Council races. And I was campaign manager for the mayor and the four city council seats that we had candidates for run. We had a full slate. Well, all the candidates were really good. They did really well. We, you know, kicked some butt, and then they had to amp up the election fraud dial. You know, we just, well, you know, now they, we got to fix that. That's a whole other thing you got to deal with, too. We'll talk about that later. But what happened was Jim Savoca ran at 19 years of age for a city council race here in Arizona. He did get a lot of attention at first. Initially, it was to make fun of him. Initially, it was like, oh, see, just them crazy libertarians again doing whatever. Even though it was a nonpartisan race, they knew we were all libertarian, a lot of signs everywhere and so on. They got him on stage, and he kicks their butt. Now, this is a kid that knew, that's why he came to us. He was drawn by this libertarian philosophy. He worked with us. He was an activist. He's like, hey, well, you only have to be 18. Well, heck, I can do it. You know, I'm 19, man. Let's go. So he went ahead and ran, got a lot of attention, did very well, didn't win, but he got the bug. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, man, if I was Republican, I went, and eventually he went on to got a political science degree. He's going on ASU and became an intern or a page at the state capitol building. And then he went down the dark side. You know, he started going Republican, trying to get his goal became he got the bug, and he got too close to the flame, and, you know, it just burned himself out. He was more concerned about being in the limelight, more concerned about being elected, more concerned about, you know, warming himself at the glow of power than he was forwarding a much longer term goal of freedom. So when you're dealing with young testosterone filled men, you know, there are motivations that are powerful to someone like that. So that's why I want to just encourage you. I've been through this before. I saw it happen year after year after year in the progression of these young guys doing this. And the only thing that I've seen that's different now is that the community that was created online around the revolution and Dr. Paul's run was that there is far more support for a freedom position, that you get that positive feedback from the people more than you do some computer-generated vote total that the government allowed you to have. So you're in a lot better position now, but you got to be thinking long-term. So if you're going to be doing stuff for 12, it looks like you're planning on doing something in 10 to kind of, you know, work out some of the bugs and see who the rock stars are. You know, so is that 10 election already starting to come together? You're thinking of people?
Certainly. We have people who are applying from all over right now and actually working on our core team to help get things off the ground and running, because a lot of them are going to end up running in primaries, both under Republican and Democrat tickets. So, yeah, that's going to start right now. And that's a good point you bring up, that, you know, they get too close to the fire, they get burnt, and then they end up becoming a part of the beast which they were there to destroy. I think the great thing about this is that all upon the revolution now, and we have the opportunity to do this. And anyone who comes on board better be seeing that it's an imperative. They must not.
Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you spending time with us. And we're going to be keeping an eye on you, Jared. You know I will.
I appreciate you having me on, Ernest.
Hey, good luck, man. And we'll be back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And it's Friday. We'll start taking some of your calls. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. We'll be right back.